Welcome back to the DHF podcast. I am Scott McNay, pastor at the LaPlata Christian Church and board member with DHF. And I'm joined this afternoon with Drew McClellan from First Christian Church, Port Arthur. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing great, Scott. It's good to be back on here with you.
Yeah, and fellow board member, I should say. So earlier this year, we did a podcast talking about some of our favorite things, and it won't come with like a sing-songy line that tags into it, even though that'd be nice. And we won't do it Oprah style. We're just going to kind of talk about some of the resources, books, podcasts, and other things that we just like other people to know about. They're not perfect resources. I don't agree with 100% of any resource I use. So feel free to complain, but I mean, I probably won't pay attention to it. So anyway, we're going to begin with a resource. Andrew, what do you want to bring to the table?
All right. Like I said, Scott, I'm going to take the heat off of you here.
Awesome.
NT Wright Online, especially in the last couple years, the resource has been fantastic. I know it's Anglican heavy, but the resources are great. You can take courses that he's teaching, and they vary in price. I mean, some of them are kind of expensive, but it's almost a full seminary course in whatever the topic is. I mean, it's a good lecture. And there's also a bunch of free ebooks. I mean, there's 6 or 7 free ebooks and great resources. There's a blog. Obviously, there's a link to the special events and stuff that he's got going on. So there's a lot on here that, for instance, just looking right here at some of the courses, you can take deep dives into books. You can take deep dives into ideas, people. Obviously, he's an expert on Paul. There's all kinds of stuff on here for Paul, and especially Paul's writings. But more importantly, and I think over the last year, we've really seen a shift in some of his teaching, and it's that whole fullness of the kingdom, and what are we going to get now out of saying, okay, I believe, and I'm going to join the kingdom. So there's a lot of resources on that as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely support that. And I love the free stuff they throw out there for everyone. Right now he's going through a video series on salvation. And I make sure and get that out on Facebook for all the people. Drew's always the first one to like that video that I post every week. So anyway, I was going to bring the Bible Project. It has kind of different media. They have a podcast and a blog. And I really lately, I'm kind of late in getting to apps whenever people just put out their own app. But there's some real value that it's not a video as the what I would feel like as a podcast. The audio is running. It slides through text or vocabulary or just all kinds of useful multimedia as they're talking about the subject. And so you can search it per text or theme or word. And one of my kids asked me about the word soul. And I'd kind of gone to, I think Dallas Willard is my working background with anything metaphysics and like how is the human formed in a scriptural kind of way. How do we talk about that? I think renovation of the heart is brilliant, but I was really blown away with all the things I did not know and the links, and they like to explain how words are kind of what we would think of hyperlinked throughout the Old Testament and then that informing the New Testament. And I've just really benefited a lot from their teaching and really appreciate that. So, and it's free, which is fantastic. So yeah, love free. So anyway, which brings us to a book that we would recommend. And I'm going to bring one that I have had for a while. Someone got it for me. It is a dictionary for theological interpretation of the Bible. The general editor is Kevin Van Hooser. And I had pulled it off my shelf to double check a couple of things from one subject and then another. And it is just brilliantly written. it doesn't go too deep while not giving you just a really superficial answer. This is not your generic Bible dictionary, which is helpful in certain arenas. This is more of the theological ideas, which may cover the law, which may cover sexuality, which may cover all kinds of things. And I just think it is one of the resources on my shelf that I end up getting into fairly often and even revisiting to get a refresher. If I need one, this is within the top three of what does that, how do I, it's not about knowing something, it's about how do I convey something, which I can be bad at and I want to be sharp on. And that resource really helps me.
It's too much information. You know, how do you get it down? Which brings me to my resource, which is full of too much information.
Hey.
And I'm sticking with NT Wright.
Hey.
So, two for two. It's the New Testament in its world. It's got a jacket. I don't know what happened to it. I've used this book pretty heavily. Well,
the problem is the jacket has a little square, which is really messy looking, but it catches on everything. Yeah.
I think actually it got ripped off in my briefcase, taking it back and forth.
I am sure it had.
The reason I picked this book is, so we kind of talked about McKnight's King Jesus Gospel the last time we talked, and we went through that book in our Sunday small group, and from there it propelled us to take a deep look at the Gospels, and we started with just kind of an intro into all four of them, and then have taken concepts now, and we're in the Sermon on a Mount. We've been there for a couple of weeks, and we're going to be there for a few more weeks, but Wright's, and not necessarily his breakdown of, okay, and he's going to tell me exactly what's in the Sermon on the Mount, but right, looking at what was going on. You know, you get the history of who the gospel writers probably were, the idea of their backgrounds, what was going on when they wrote the gospel. And you can see the difference between the way Mark writes, the way John writes, the way Luke writes, and the way Matthew writes. And Wright does a good job of bringing all of that in. So now, after you have that background, then you'd go back to the text and you look at the Sermon on the Mount and you're like, okay, Jesus was referring to this because it was culturally relevant at the time. Mm-hmm. And you get that full understanding of what's going on. I will spoiler hardcore alert here. We've had some issues with some of the stuff being way up here.
Right.
I mean, it's written at a very high level. And some people kind of struggled with some of that. But when we realized that we weren't going to use it in the full, it's great. So if you just love history and theology together, it's a great book. It is written at a high level and in some way. There's a lot of references to saints and scholars and stuff that may go over some heads, but the overall message is really good, and the understanding of what was going on in the world, that's been a huge thing, even as we've gone through some of the Old Testament studies, of showing folks, hey, this was what was going on. You know, Alexander the Great was doing this, and, you know, or whoever from your history class.
Yeah,
it really brings everything back into full focus when you're kind of moving stuff around.
Yeah, I like that book because it takes a running start. It's whenever you have a book that's going to prepare you for the New Testament, and it's going to start with some chapters on philosophy and epistemology, and you're like, all right, this is a serious treatment of the issue. Now, if that's not an interest to you, you can easily skip past it. He's just trying to give you the actual backdrop for where Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, where they're all operating, moving, and what's the cultural water, whether that's Jewish, Greek, or Roman.
And for reference, if it helps, the group on Sunday is very intergenerational. Mm-hmm. We've got people in their 20s to people in their late 80s.
Yeah.
And like you said, you can get as much or as little out of it as you want.
Yeah.
But when you're looking at the introductions to the chapters and the books is what's really, really helped, because, yeah, okay, I know what was going on at Corinth at the time. I know what was going on in Galatia, Thessalonica, or whatever, where Paul was when he wrote the letters, what was going on in Paul's life. And that was really helpful. You know, we studied Acts, and, you know, I said, it's a good thing I wasn't in charge of writing the Bible, because I'd have stopped Acts and put a letter in you know, whenever, wherever right. Paul wants to get more of an idea. And I think that's kind of what N.T. Wright does. By taking you back to, okay, this is what was going on. Paul was on this missionary journey. He was in this country. This had just happened when he addressed what was going on. Regardless of your level, that portion of the book is very helpful.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. As a side note, maybe as a bonus book, I can't recommend it yet because I'm not done with it. I just dug into. There's a new series that started a couple of years ago. N.T. Wright wrote the Galatians commentary for the Commentaries for Christian Formation, which is in a really slow production. You have this, and then you have John Goldingay, who's releasing one on Proverbs later this year, I think it is. Have you had a chance to read from that
one? No, I haven't.
It's really interesting, and I'm really... You have a level of commentaries that is across the bandwidth, and you have people that are new and people that have read the Bible a couple times, and then right under scholarly, you have just people that are either mature Christians or trying to teach mature Christians. So you don't want to just give them a really third grader answer. You want to take them into the depth of the text, and I mean, just the... really release their imagination for what God is doing in the world through the New Testament, the work in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit with us today. And that commentary is right under scholarly. So it's not, I mean, it's probably borderline scholarly, but it's made for Christians who are just taking their faith seriously and want to experience everything that Galatians has to offer. I have been spot checking it for a few things and using it to teach through bits of Galatians. And as a side bonus one, I've liked what I've seen so far in there. Some new stuff I never come through with some other commentary. So really, really thought that was cool. But well, getting to it then, we will land with podcasts. What podcast would you recommend today?
So keeping with my Anglican focus,
yes.
Word and Table. And the reason I say that is, because yes, it is Anglican, but it kind of takes some of the stuff that we've neglected as evangelical Protestants. It breaks down concepts that we use and maybe don't understand why we use, but it also has a connection to some of the high church stuff that we don't use and we don't understand. They've got a really good, session on purgatory and explain where it came from and how it got to be what it is in the Roman Catholic tradition. So it's really interesting. It's two fathers. One is the rector, I think, in Dallas, and the other is the head of New Testament canon theology. You know, but it's on a level, a conversational level. I mean, cool. So it's very. Very easy to follow. That's not anything crazy. What I like the term I use here is they take church words and they make them understandable. You know, stuff that you've heard, you've grown up with, maybe not totally understood why it's used or what it means. And they bring it out and say, okay, well, this is what it means. This is what it meant. And this is what it's supposed to mean. And why are we not, you know, using it, you know, or why haven't we embraced it? Should we be embracing it? So it's good stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool. Mine is not a Christian podcast. I think it's an incredibly useful podcast as a pastor. It's nothing I would use from the pulpit, really. It just kind of brings clarity to where we live. It is Advisory Opinions by the Dispatch. It's free online, but it's two lawyers. Neither are practicing law right now, but have practiced in the past. And they break down what's going on in the law. A lot of times that could be Supreme Court cases, but they'll pick up other cases that are just going on in the United States. And there's just a lot I didn't learn in high school. And I'm not going to blame my teachers because I wasn't a great student in high school. I enjoyed history the most, but there is a really fascinating way to the process just in the legal weeds in our everyday life and just so many outlets that talk about the law do it from a partisanship that wants to rig an outcome. And this podcast, as I see it, its big point is the process matters. And we want a good and healthy process. And they do a great job of breaking things down. There are a couple episodes where I'll wrap up a little early because they get into some bits of the law that do not excite me, that are incredibly dry. But the rest of it is pretty fast-paced and interesting. They interact with their listeners, and I just really recommend it. I think it's pretty beneficial to a lot of people. That is another episode of Some of Our Favorite Things with Drew. So if you are interested in making a recommendation to us about a resource, a book, or a podcast that you enjoy, you can head over to discipleheritage.org and let us know about that. And until next time, have a great day.